I want to work for a moment from this premise that the glory of God comes to create. The glory of God doesn't come to make us feel better, it comes to create. So after the creation story, you don't see the glory of God tangibly coming down again. I mean, you see it in the creation story, and we have all these stories of patriarchs, but then you see all of a sudden Moses comes on the scene, and there is this bush that is on fire and is not consumed. So the glory shows up in a tangible form and begins to work through the life of Moses all throughout the ministry of Moses, because God is establishing the nation of Israel. So we're going to see the glory over and over again. So the first time it appears is in the burning bush, but then you're going to see the glory coming down and appearing in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now, what is the glory creating in those moments? Is it just light? No. You got to understand. Here's what the Bible says. As long as the cloud was there, and as long as the pillar of fire was there and the pillar of cloud was there, their shoes did not wear out. Their clothes did not wear out. The Bible does not say he gave them new clothes or new shoes. No, 40 years with the same pair of shoes, and they were still as good as the day you put them on. I know some of you are wearing shoes like that tonight, and you're still proud of those shoes, but I'm telling you that in the story of the Bible, their shoes and their clothes, nothing could diminish in the glory. The glory was created. Remember, if it's the subatomic level of everything that's created, God just kept regenerating that leather. God just kept regrowing that and regenerating it. Can you imagine wearing the same garments for 40 years and the same shoes for 40 years, and it changed sizes when you change sizes? It's like, hey, is that the same shirt? It looks a little smaller than it did last time I saw it. See them 2 years later. Is that the same shirt? It looks a little bigger than it looked like the last time I saw it. Yeah, it just keeps changing when I change, because the glory of God is creating something. And that is one of the testimonies of Israel, is that their clothes and their shoes never wore out the entire time they were in the wilderness because of the glory of God. Moses says to the people in Exodus 16, he says, get ready, because tomorrow the glory's coming. He doesn't say God's coming. He says the glory of the Lord is coming to the camp tomorrow. Get ready, because the people were hungry. And the next morning they got up and the glory of God came to the camp, and quail started flying in from the ocean at 2 feet high. And they were just catching them in bags and baskets. I mean, they didn't have to set a snare. They didn't have to chase one down. All these quail, because of the glory of God, created this stream and brought in these quail, maybe even created the quail. We don't know, because they were eating manna every single day that was created miraculously. So because the glory was there, the glory was creating bread for them every single day. The manna would fall and it would lay on the ground. I don't know if it fell like snowflakes or they got up and it was laying on the ground, but what we do know is they were grinding it, they were boiling it, they were making bread out of it. And so every day the glory was creating food for them. Every day the glory was creating atmosphere. So they were just catching these quail because Moses says the glory of the Lord is coming. So when the glory shows up, that is when we stop operating in the anointing and let the glory do the work. So let's look at that one idea. Is it time to stop operating in anointing and let the glory do the work? Because here's what we have to learn tonight. When the glory of God settles, we just have to let him go. We don't need to change anything. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to create anything. We don't have to rev anything. When the glory settles, all you do is let God do what he wants to do. It doesn't mean it's going to go high or low. It's just going to be glory. And it's something is being created in the room. And that is why you don't get in a hurry. That is why you don't rush it. That is why you can't manipulate it. That is why you don't try to juice it up or induce it. When the glory of God falls, you just soak in it. You just rest in it, because it's creating things and healing things in people's lives. So when the glory shows up, it is time to stop operating in the anointing and saying, okay, I know I have a gift, but this is not the time. I may have a word, but this is not the time. I know that I may have a sermon, but this is not the time. Let the glory do the work. Well, can you prove that from the Bible? Thank you for asking, because I'll be happy to do that. So in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 through 38, God gives Moses the tabernacle. He has the tabernacle, but the glory of God hasn't filled the tabernacle yet. They've just made it. Then all of a sudden, when you read chapter 40, beginning in verse 34, it says, the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Look at verse 35. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God said, Moses, you're doing good, but right now I'm going to do it all by myself. I don't need you in here. The glory of God has filled this tabernacle. Yes, I know that you're a great leader, but right now you don't have to say anything. You don't have to lift your rod. You don't have to do anything right now. I want you to rest in the glory because the glory has, you don't have to come in here, Moses. Just rest in the glory. You can sleep good tonight, Israel, because God is in the camp. You don't have to worry about an enemy showing up because the glory of God has come down in the camp and is protecting the camp because of the glory.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Now let's go on. How about Solomon's temple? Solomon built God a great house, a great temple. And you can read in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound and to be heard in praising and thanking God. Okay, let me just stop there for a moment. Okay, I don't have that verse up there for you. I'm just reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 5, but this is important. When the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking of the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised God, saying, for he is good and for his mercy endures forever. It sounded like one sound. Now, something that I've noticed, and if you've ever been, and I know all of you have, because Linda Cooley has been here quite a few times, and he comes in for a lot of the conferences. There are moments when Linda, because Linda thrives for moments. I mean, he lives for moments of glory. Because of what he experienced at Brownsville, he taught an incredible course at ISO on worship that was all about learning how to operate when the glory of God comes, when to operate, when not to operate. And one of the things that you will notice when Linda was here, when the glory begins to fall, he wants you to be in one note almost. It's almost like everybody is, whether they're singing hallelujah or thank you, Jesus, they're singing it in the same key. There's not a lot of melody to it. How many of you have witnessed that before? It sounds like one voice. He wants the instruments in one tone. He wants the voices in one tone. And everybody is worshiping. And that's when you press in. And Linda will push you into that moment because you say, here it is, here it is. Come on, he calls you the bride of Christ. Come on, bride, press in. Here it is, here it is. And he wants everybody worshiping, but in one voice, on the same note. And that's what happened here in Solomon's temple. When they all got in the same key on the same note and it sounded like one, they got in perfect unity and to where they weren't trying to sing a song or create anything. They were just glorifying God in one note. Listen to what the Bible says. It said, the glory of the Lord filled the house so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. God says, there's things I want you to do, but when the glory settles, I just want you to let me do it. How many of you know God can do it all by himself? How many of you know that God can do it all by, yes, he uses us as his instruments, but there are times that God says, you have no idea what I'm about to do. I'm about to make a new heart. I'm about to make a new family. I'm about to make a new marriage. I'm about to make a new mind. I'm about to heal something that's deep-seated, and I just need for you to let the glory of God settle in the house. That's why you can't rush church. You can't just put God on a timer and do this and this and this and push it through so you get out on time. Yes, there are reasons for, you know, structure, but at the same time, we have got to just let God do what God wants to do and let the glory of God settle in the house and lean into that and give into that. And don't look at your watch when it's happening, and don't look at the clock when it's happening, and don't roll your eyes when it's happening. Just let it happen, no matter how long it takes. You know, Lisa and the Binions, David, not Lisa, but David and Nicole Binion, actually, they recorded an album a few years ago, and it's a great worship album. And I can't remember the name of the song where he gives this testimony, but he stops in the middle of that, and he tells about a moment where he's in a worship service, and the glory of God comes into the worship service. And he said, I found myself underneath the piano. And he said, I thought that I'd been there for 5 minutes. And when I got up, and I can't remember the exact time, so I could be telling you the wrong time, but I think he said it was 5 hours. He said, when I got up, I realized that I had been in the glory for 5 hours, and it felt like 5 minutes to me. And I had lost all sense of time because the glory of God. And he, in this testimony, he's almost in tears saying, I long for that. That ruined me so bad that nothing else has ever satisfied. I want the presence of God like that in my life again and again. And he said, I've been chasing that. For the rest of my life, I'm doing whatever I have to do to experience God in that way again, because it was so transforming. You know, another place where the glory would fall often was in Azusa. So in the Azusa Street meetings, there's a lot of videos out where they, on YouTube, where they interviewed a lot of the people in Azusa. There's a lot of books written, and I've tried to read every one of them because I've been so intrigued with what God was doing there at Azusa. But one of the things that happened there, this is a revival that sometimes we don't really know how to classify it, because it started in 1906 and went all the way to 1915. So think about that, 9 years. And in these 9 years, we think, oh, they came every night and sang songs and took up offerings. No, it was none of that. It wasn't even really a worship service. It was a prayer meeting. And the other thing is, it never stopped. It was 24 hours a day. You could come to the Azusa Mission at 3 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock. It doesn't matter. It was always full, and there was always people for 9 years. This Azusa Mission was filled up for 9 years, 24 hours a day. And so he said occasionally you would hear a sermon, but they weren't really there to preach. They were there to worship and to pray. And so this was a massive prayer meeting that never stopped. And they would break out in song, and some of them would testify. And every now and then, not every day, but every now and then, the glory of God would manifest itself in a tangible way. Now, I thought this was really interesting, because it said it only showed up in two colors. They said when the glory of God showed up, it was a mist like a cloud that would float across the floor about 2 feet high. And they said it only showed up in two colors. One color was green and one color was blue. I thought, hey, I can explain that now. I couldn't have told you that a few years ago, but I know why. It was, you were seeing the glory of the Son, the glory of the Holy Spirit in the room. And they would just lay the sick in the cloud. They have this one testimony, and some of you in the medical field can say this better than I can, because I really don't know how to pronounce this word. So I'm gonna botch it up, but I'm gonna give you my best shot. It's the same affliction that the person that we have known as the Elephant Man in the Guinness Book of World Records, or wherever we've seen this person that is called the Elephant Man. It's that disease. It contorts the face, neurofibromatosis, also called. I don't know how to say it. So it's a disease that disfigures the bones. And if you've ever seen the pictures of the Elephant Man, it was something that he kept himself covered, because it was frightening for people to look at him, because his whole head was huge and got swollen, and he had knots all over him, and you couldn't hardly tell where his nose was and his eyes, because his body was so disfigured. They had a man that heard about this place where the glory of God would fall. And he didn't know, you know, what day to show up, but there was a man that had that disease, and he always kept a hood on and kept his head covered. And one of the great stories of the Azusa meeting was he slipped in and sit in the back as he always did in public because he frightened the public. And that night, the glory of God came in. And one of the mothers who gave this testimony, and she was still alive till a few years ago because this testimony is actually on YouTube. And this lady said that she was there. She was a young girl at the time. She was an older lady in the YouTube, but she said she was a young girl at the time, and she was there. And this man, when the glory came, he just laid down in it. And they watched him as he took his hood off. And she said in a matter of 3 minutes, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, they watched this man's body start to change. And he started out with this horrible disfiguring disease. And she said in about 3 minutes, as his body shifted and changed, he became a handsome young man that got up and testified for night after night after night because of the glory of God. No one prayed for him. No one touched him. It's because the glory comes to create something.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.